Greetings, one and all. It's an auspicious day, I guess you could say, because we have a couple lives are going to change after today, a different path in their lives. You know, immersion into Yahshua's name is the most important single step anyone can take in their life. It is a step you take for salvation, and for that, it's all about change, as we just read in the 51st Psalm. Changing from the person you are to the saint Yahweh wants you to be. But before one comes to this point in his life, he has to ask the question, am I a believer? What is my goal? Is there a greater purpose in life than living out my days in the usual way like the rest of the world does? Is there something more required of me? You know, the word tells us that Yahweh expects us to change from the man or woman we are in the flesh, into the image and ideal of Yahshua, which is the whole goal of his kingdom come, in order one day to reign with him. Our goal is as the called out of Yahweh, is to mold our lives into someone that Yahweh can use, someone that Yahweh can call upon. Go out and do this, go out and do that, as you teach people the truth in the kingdom. And of course, that's what we're talking about here, the kingdom of Almighty Yahweh, what this feast actually represents. So I think it's appropriate. I think it's appropriate that, in fact, we often tell people, come to the feast, you know, get baptized at that time because, I mean, we can baptize at any time, but when you come to the feast, you are already in line with what you're going to be doing the rest of your life, keeping Yahweh's feast. Our goal is to become a person Yahweh can use. He can't use self-focused, selfish individuals until they learn to be humble and teachable. If all we have accomplished in life is provide a comfortable and happy living for us and our family, 70 on this planet, then the years of our life that Yahshua has granted to us, and what a gift it is, has been essentially squandered. And so many people are out there doing that. They're living for themselves, wasting this life they've been given. You know, our lives are made up of hours. I often think, you know, do I want to waste these hours, or do I want to make them productive for Yahweh? So we have to choose what we want to do, the entertainment we put ourselves in front of, and the work we do. We want it to bear fruit for Yahweh. If we are the same spiritually at the end of our lives as we were at the beginning, you live a life without purpose. Contrast the ease by which most of us live today, and we do live very unusually compared to the rest of history, but compare that what Paul talked about in his race in 1 Corinthians 9:24. He compared this life to a race. Know you not that they which run in a race run all, but one receives the prize. So run that you may obtain. Run, it's active, it's motion, it's doing. Run so that you may obtain. Obtain what? The salvation we all want. And every man that strives for the mastery is temperate in all things, but now they that do it to obtain a corruptible crown, but we an incorruptible. I therefore so run, he says, I do, not as uncertainly. He knows what his goal is. So fight I, not as one that beats the air, but I keep under my body and bring it into subjection, lest by any means, when I have preached to others, I myself should be a castaway. Paul wasn't even sure about his own life. How is he going to be seen in Yahweh's eyes? Is he going to measure up? So he's striving. But I certainly don't want to be a castaway after all of this work and effort to bring the truth to the world. Yahweh couldn't have chosen a more suitable candidate to take his word to the Gentiles. A guy that just never gave up. Never. Shipwreck, whippings, jail, on and on and on. Being criticized for everything. Just as Yahshua was, you know, it's like the Pharisees and the scribes, just standing around waiting for him to make a mistake. Oh, jump on him. Now, I'm sure Paul had the same issues. He fought with them too because they didn't like the message he was bringing. So he says, I look for something more. And that's what probably the big reason that we want to get immersed into Yahshua's name. We want something more. We only search for something more when we are unhappy with where we are. That's why so many people that are under a lot of pressure, sickness, whatever it might be, are more amenable to committing to Yahweh. Therefore, the deception of the evil one is to keep us self-satisfied. Hey, I'm fine where I am. And that's the world. That's most of the world. I'm happy where I am. I don't need to make any changes. Don't rock the boat, you know. Advertisements tell us to feel good about ourselves. Treat yourself to our product. You deserve it. Schools push self-esteem as if it were one of the three R's. Sin is rooted in self-centered wants and desires. That's what Satan, he wanted to be in the kingdom. He wanted to be with, actually replace Yahweh. Selfishness, self-centered desire. A self-focus is embedded at the core of sin. That's what it all boils down to, self-centeredness. So how does the culture respond to this problem? It answers, well, you need more self-esteem, more ego and self-love. The adversary played on Eve's selfish desires in the garden. The most powerful weapons in his arsenal are deception, promoting of self-love, and sinful goals. Instead of teaching that we are worthless rags in Yahweh's sight, oh, don't ever say that in our culture. Everybody is, everybody's great and terrific. Well, the Bible says the opposite. Man is not good by nature. The new philosophy is that each of us is worthy of blessing simply because we exist. Because I exist, I get all the goodies. And that pulls us away from Yahweh and not toward him. We've got to realize that we need him and we don't like what we are. So we want to change. We want to commit. We want to repent. Do you see what's happening? The necessity of repentance and personal change is being torpedoed. The culture is going the total opposite of repentance, which involves diminishing of self and humble abasement. Repentance demands that we see ourselves as unworthy in Yahweh's sight. But we want to be worthy, so what do? We make the changes that he commands us to do. To be completely broken up, devastated over our past. I never read where Yahshua says that we are worthy sinners. We are unworthy sinners. Why repent? Is not the command to repent and be baptized? Isn't that what was happening in Acts 2 when the people said, we just killed the Messiah? What worst thing could you do is kill the very Savior of men? And they just realized it in Peter's message. Peter's an interesting guy. You know, he starts out just all mouth. And, I can do it. I can walk on water, you know. Where are the two people in Scripture that walked on water? People say Yahshua and, well, Peter did for a little bit. And then he went down because he started worrying about, what have I got myself into? He was always talking. But I'll tell you what. Once he received the Spirit at Pentecost, he was a totally different guy. He spoke with power, and he moved people. And that's what's happening in Acts 2. Thousands of people, 3,000 people said, what do? We just killed the Messiah. And what did he tell them? Repent and be baptized. That's your only salvation. Repent and be baptized. First, you have to realize you're worthless rags in need of a Savior before we can approach Almighty Yahweh through Yahshua. In all unbelief, there are two things, a high opinion of self and a low opinion of Yahweh. And that's what we find out in the world. Man has become his own salvation in the world, and he doesn't need Yahweh. The person who feels good about himself accepts his negative qualities and weaknesses. You know, that's, again, part of human nature. He doesn't see that he's blind and poor and wretched. The message to Laodicea is the same to our society today. If you read Revelation 3:14, this lukewarm assembly has now become a lukewarm society. To be in the family of Yahweh takes a humble desire to leave the ways of sin and death and to hunger for something better, to follow the ways of truth. Until we get to that point, until we finally realize I'm going on a dead end, and I, in the pit of my being, want to follow Almighty Yahweh, are we going to change? Oh, we might for a little while, but you know how that goes. Until we get to the point where we realize that sin in our lives is destroying us like a deadly disease, there won't be any change. Yahweh can't work with an attitude of just as I am without one plea, as some minister used to, in his crusade, used to sing. Without one plea? Oh, we got a lot of pleas. We have to change. Yahweh will not accept you without change. Repent and be baptized, Peter said, Acts 2:38. And then you shall receive the gift of the Spirit. And that goes to the heart of the whole issue. We have a fellow that used to come here, came from a church down the road. And he said half the people in church thought you need to be baptized. The other half said, nah, you don't need baptism. So I asked, where do you get the Spirit? How do you get the Spirit? Well, repent and be baptized and you shall receive the Spirit. You don't have the Spirit, you're not resurrected. I think that's pretty serious stuff. Repentance is a word seldom heard today. Repentance is expressed by the Greek as metanoia and means a dynamic personal change in heart and attitude. A dynamic change. This isn't just something words. This is actual inward change. It means to subdue the cause of sin, not just the consequences of it. It boils down to a change in nature and one that displays the fruits of the Spirit. Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, meekness, mercy, faith. It all boils down to a changed heart. And that's what repentance is. It means it's not just I'm sorry. It's a 180-degree switch in your life, living a different way, thinking different ways. Not the usual. You get hold of your emotions. You get hold of your thinking so that you're controlled by Yahweh through Yahshua. It means to subdue the cause of sin, not just the consequences. A changed nature is what it all boils down to. This is the word that's connected with remission of sins and the promise of the Spirit. When we repent, we tell Yahweh that from this point on in my life, I'm living for you, and I don't care. I don't care about the world. I mean, well, I do, but I don't care for the world's goals. I don't care for what the world lives for. I care to live for you. And everything I'm going to do from this point forward is going to be for your honor and glory, and I'm not going to go backward on it. We are doing a complete reversal when we are living a life where sin no longer reigns. Now, you might slip and fall once in a while, but sin no longer reigns. It's not like you go from one sin to the next. You repent, and you move on, and don't do it again. It means putting yourself last and Him first. Following Scripture means conforming to Yahweh's will, to put him before you. So let's test that notion biblically. Nowhere in the Bible do we find such an idea suggested, let alone set forth, as a principle for life that one cannot be obedient to Yahweh, for he has been deprived of personal satisfaction and needs. 1 Timothy 6:8 tells us that if we have food and covering, we shall be content. That's all you need. Yahshua didn't even have, he said, I have nowhere to lay my head. But he survived, didn't he? It's a fact. The more things we have, the more time we spend on them. And I'm one. Taking care of it, cleaning it, fixing it, painting it, adding to it, maintaining it, improving it, storing it, moving it, unstoring it, buying parts for it. No wonder those in the developing countries know their Bibles 10 times better than Americans do. We got too much stuff. And the biggest thing is go out and look at all these storage bins everywhere. People have so much stuff they can't even store it at home. They have to go and store it away. We have too much stuff dominating our lives and time. In Matthew 6, Yahshua contrasts Gentile pagan philosophy with the true believer's approach to life. Read verses 25 to 34. I don't have time, but sometime look at that. Matthew 6, 25 to 34. The worldly personal desires The worldly person as well seeks security in things. Makes him feel good, you know, like, what do they say, comfort food? Comfort things, you know. I'll feel okay if I can get that thing I want. You know, I want that motorcycle, whatever I want. Then I'll be okay. And after a while, you look at it and say, now what else do I want? Because this is not satisfying me. There's no end to it. Smoke and mirrors. Instead of seeking these things first, the Word says to seek Yahweh's kingdom first, and the rest will be added. So you got your priorities mixed up. Put him first, and he says he'll take care of the rest. You'll be satisfied with what you have. And, you know, he'll bless you with other things too. Matthew 16:24, Yahshua stands the worship of self really on its ear. He teaches the exact opposite of self-indulgence. Then said Yahshua unto his disciples, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up the stake and follow me. Deny himself. He knew where the real problem rests. For whosoever will save his life shall lose it. Whosoever will lose his life for my sake shall find it. Verse 26, for what is a man profited if he shall gain the whole world and lose his soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? For the Son of Man shall come in the glory of his Father with his angels, and then he shall reward every man according to his works. According to his works. What he did on this life. Sacrifice your own wants and desires so that others may benefit. Get your thoughts off of self, and you'll be a lot happier. Serving others, that's Yahshua's main message, you know. Love your brethren by serving them. The idea of doing with less or going without so that others can have is really strangely foreign to our culture. What are you talking about? How can I be happy that way? It becomes big news when a person sacrifices to help another. You know, we read about it in the paper. Oh, you know, a moment of kindness there. Wow. Things certainly have changed in one generation, you know it. We used to be, you would obviously do things like that. Help a neighbor, help anyone in trouble. You reach out and you help. Who would have thought 30 years ago that people would be so self-focused? And it just gets worse. Injustice doesn't matter so long as I'm not affected personally, people reason. It's a different world. People are more and more getting away from the basic truths of Scripture. Less and less do they have natural affection for the fellow man. Hence shootings and all this other stuff going on, road rage. As Paul foretold in 2 Timothy 3:3. The 36th chapter of Ezekiel, verses 31 to 33, reminds us that our ways are evil. The natural man thinks of self first, and Yahweh says, that's not right, that's wrong. This is one of the most powerful verses in the entire Bible when it comes to contemplating our everlasting salvation. Then shall you remember your own evil ways and doing things that were not good, and shall loathe yourselves in your own sight for your iniquities and your abominations. Not for your sakes do I do this, says my sovereign Yahweh. Be it known unto you, be ashamed and confounded for your own ways, O house of Israel. 36:33. Thus saith my sovereign Yahweh, in the days that I shall have cleansed you from all your iniquities, I will also cause you to dwell in the cities, and the waste shall be builded. He's going to be for us. He's going to help us. But we got to turn to him first. And that's what it's all about. That's what repentance is. It begins with a bad self-image. I don't like myself. I want to change. It says I loathe my ways. I loathe my thoughts that I get all the time. My actions, my attitude. I want to get off this dead-end road. You will never change your ways if you're happy with who you are. Self-denial runs all through Yahweh's teachings and all through the New Testament. 2 Timothy 3:2, Yahshua prophesies that exactly what we're seeing today. He says, for men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy. There's a sermon in every one of those points. Without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, There's a natural enmity against the Bible because it's about good. And that grates against people who want a different way. Traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasures more than lovers of Elohim. Every one of them has a self-centered focus. Notice that? Every one of them. It's all about me. It's all about self. Yahshua was a study in the complete opposite. He was so different. And he spoke so differently, too. Never have we heard someone speak like this, they said. But, you know, the scribes and Pharisees, well, we have our traditions. Well, he says, no, I'm going to the root of your problems. And one day you'll understand it. John 12:25 is clear as crystal. He that loves his life shall lose it, and he that hates his life in this world shall keep it unto life eternal. If any man serve me, let him follow me, and where I am, there shall also my servant be. If any man serve me, him will my Father honor. So you serve Yahshua, you're serving Yahweh at the same time. Vice versa. Luke 14:26, nothing in this life should be desired above Yahweh and his kingdom. Nothing. Because nothing is more important. Because this life is going to stop one day. And then what? Not even family. If you aren't willing to sacrifice everything for Yahweh, even your own life for the kingdom's sake, then you're not worthy of that kingdom. That's what it amounts to. That was Yahshua's message. Like Paul, he said, don't go to Rome. They're going to kill you. He says, if I die, I die. What better way to die in Yahweh's service? You think he's going to not bless you for that? He was ready. I mean, he probably lived every day saying, well, this could be the last. He kept it on going. Kind of like what we have to do. Okay, I'm going to keep serving him no matter what happens. And believe me, when you're pushing against the world, that's not easy to do sometimes. We need redemption. Without Yahshua, we'll certainly perish. And that's a biblical fact, punctuated by Yahshua's own teachings throughout the evangels. When we make a commitment to Yahweh to go down the waters of baptism, we're saying, I die to self. I die, I want to change, I want to come up a new creation. I want no more of my past life. I give myself to Yahweh through the atoning blood of Yahshua. Well, what is baptism anyway? Ever thought about that? What is this rite that we put people under water and they come back out? Romans 6:3. Know you not that so many of us, as we're baptized into Messiah Yahshua, we're baptized into his death. See, it typifies a burial. Burial waters. So, you don't sprinkle somebody or pour on water on somebody to be baptizing them. You ever seen anybody buried in a grave and someone just sprinkles a little dirt on them or pours a little dirt on them? No, this is a burial. A burial, you go under the water. You go under the ground. And therefore, we are buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Messiah was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. To go into the watery grave is to participate in his death. How much closer could you get to accepting his death for your life than to mimic exactly what he did, to go under and commit to him in all things? When he came out of the tomb a new spiritual being, we come out of the waters a new person. Never in your life will you ever be that. I tell people that. At this point, you've never been so clean in your life inwardly. You have no more sin. Yahshua should come back. Hey, he'll raise you. You have no more sin. How could he not raise you into his kingdom? Come out of the waters a new person. And you're never so clean as the day you do that. We're told that we must be made new. We must take hold of Yahshua's death. And that's what baptism is. That's why baptism is so necessary. Through this action, we say to Yahshua, I want to join in your redemptive act of forgiving my sins and for the hope of my salvation, the assurance of my salvation. like the blood on the doorpost represented his blood on us, you know, around the doorposts in when Israel was in Egypt, in Goshen. Immersion is the joining of ourselves with him and his redemption. Paul explains how this works in the rest of the passage in Romans 6, 5. For if we've been planted together in the likeness of his death, we shall also be in the likeness of his resurrection. Knowing this, that our old man is impaled with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin. So, we have a changed life. He had a changed life. He went from physical to spirit, right? He had a changed life when he was resurrected. In a greater way, and hopefully one day we'll have that same. For he that is dead is freed from sin. Now, if we be dead with Messiah, we believe that we shall also live with him. Quoting now, 6:9, knowing that Messiah, being raised from the dead, dieth no more, death has no more dominion over him. If you're with Yahshua, death is not something you fear anyway. Talk to a number of people who have watched a loved one pass away. You know, oftentimes, if probably more than I know, people have such a peace at that point. It's like Yahweh says, look, don't fear death. And they have such a peace. That's why probably why you get that, you know, the light thing, you know. Maybe it's something chemical in their brains. I don't know. They think they, you know, came back from the dead. But I think Yahweh gives you that peace. You can tell it. You can tell it. People just get, you know, it's okay. You can go. You have a life greater than this life. For in that he died unto sin once, but in that he lives unto Elohim. Likewise, reckon you also yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto Elohim through Yahshua our Master. Let not sin therefore reign in your mortal body, that you should obey it in the lusts thereof. Can't go backwards. And Hebrews 6 says, if you throw it all away and you understand what you're doing, and we've had this happen with people, certain, not often, but once in a while it happens. You just throw it all off, throw it away. And if you understand the truth and then say, okay, I'm giving it up. He said, that's it. There's no more sacrifice for sin if you reach that point. And I believe that's the unpardonable sin, to throw away the promise of everlasting life. Said you do that, then you have no promise of everlasting life. You can't even repent of it. Pretty serious stuff. Neither yield ye members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but yield yourselves unto Elohim as those that are alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness unto Elohim. So you have a different purpose in life once you make that commitment. You think differently and you act differently and you have a different goal, because you now put Yahweh in the forefront. We've been asked, well, what about my previous baptism? I was immersed maybe even in the truth of the Sabbath and holy days, but not in Yahshua's name. What do I do? Well, there is a biblical precedent here. It's found in Mark 1, 4, where John's baptism was taking place, but the people needed also to be baptized in Yahshua's name. So what did Yahshua call it? It's a baptism of repentance, but you got to do it right. That's fine, but you got to do it right, and you have no salvation outside of Yahshua's name. Proper baptism is in Yahshua's name. These other baptisms are done in the spirit of repentance, but salvation is not there yet. There's none other name given among men whereby we must be saved. Acts 4:12. If every instance of baptism in the New Testament was done in some other name, we could say, well, it doesn't matter, but it wasn't. Every instance was done in Yahshua's name. Every instance of baptism. Look it up. Acts is full of them. Probably half a dozen. They were baptized into Yahshua's name. So that's why we do the baptism that way. That's part of seeking the truth of his word. In fact, in John 14:6, Yahshua says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me. You can't get there any other way. And there's only one name by which we are saved. And Yahshua has the family name in him. It all adds up perfectly, doesn't it? Ephesians 4:5 tells us there's only one master, one faith, one baptism. Don't have lots of different baptisms. So there's only one correct baptism. Peter told the 3,000, repent, be baptized. Repentance is mandatory. You must repent of your past life. You can't make a change if you don't first say, I'm not going back to that former way of my life. I can't. I will not. And Yahweh, help me from this point on to live a life when I receive the Holy Spirit to help me, guide me, to do things according to your word. In Hebrews 6, we are told that we cannot toy with this issue. As I mentioned, you can't. It's very serious. We can't decide later, well, like I said, it was a mistake. Yeah, it was a mistake. If you turn back, all right. It isn't what I want. Then try to return some future time. It's impossible to renew into repentance, he said. So repentance, followed by baptism, is the most serious step that you can take in your life. It says to Yahweh that I am now yours, my life is no longer mine, and when Yahshua comes, I'm ready. I'm ready because I've changed my life to follow him. I'll do whatever you require of me. I'll keep your feasts, your Sabbath, your name, your commandments. I will honor you in all ways. I'll love, I will serve, and I will do all things. Just as Yahshua did. You know, people say, what's truth? Yahshua's truth. Follow him. He's the judge. He's the one. You know, you want to please the judge, don't you? I mean, isn't that pretty important? Please the judge. Do what he did. Live as he did. And teach as he did. Baptism is a burial. The very word is the Greek meaning to overwhelm with water. We can't meet that definition by sprinkling or pouring. In fact, sprinkle is rantizo and to pour is chio, and none of those is used for baptism for salvation in the New Testament. None of them. And Philip and John both went down into the water when they were baptized. Into the water. There's no need that they get wet, too, if all they were doing is sprinkling or pouring on the shoreline. Once a person is immersed, then hands are laid on him or her by the ministry for the receiving of the Holy Spirit. Notice the examples where the Spirit is bestowed by laying on of hands. Acts 8:17, then laid their hands on them and they received the Spirit. Acts 9:17, and Ananias went his way and entered into the house and putting his hands on him said, Brother Saul, the master even Yahshua that appeared unto thee in the way as thou camest has sent me, that you might receive your sight and be filled with the Spirit. This is Paul, of course, getting the Spirit. And immediately there fell from his eyes as had been scales, and he received sight forthwith and arose and was baptized. 2 Timothy 1:6, therefore I put thee in remembrance that you stir up the gift of Elohim, which is in you, by putting on of my hands. Isn't that interesting? People say, I don't know what my gift is. And for years I've said, usually he enhances what you have. Here is confirmation. Stir up the Spirit that was in you when I lay on hands. When I lay on hands. Now you might get a gift you never knew you had. I always tell the story. For many years, I don't know how many, we used to sing karaoke here. We had no musicians. We had nobody. So we turn on hit the button, and we all sing to pre-recorded music. Until all of a sudden, we found out there are people in the congregation that could sing and play. I guess we never tried that before. I don't know why, but hey, it worked. You know, there's a Spirit that was in them, the gift was in them, but we never allowed it to be practiced. Sure glad we did. Karaoke just doesn't cut it. But anyway, he says in 1 Timothy 4:14, neglect not the gift that is in you, which was given thee by prophecy with the laying on of hands of the presbytery. So Yahweh grants a special gift. Paul wrote in Galatians 3:27 that those who have been baptized into Yahshua have been put on Messiah. Yahweh makes no distinction between or among those who are immersed. All become part of the body. It doesn't matter. That's why we say we don't baptize into a group or a ministry. We are baptized into the body of Messiah. 1 Corinthians 12:13, for by one Spirit we are all baptized into one body, whether we be Jews or Gentiles, whether we be bond or free, and have been all made to drink into one Spirit. We're all baptized into a family that one day will rule on this earth. And who knows from then on? Who knows? It's up to Yahweh what he's got planned for after that. We all have a place and responsibility in the body of Messiah. So we're given gifts to promote our responsibility, to help the body of Messiah. That's what the whole point is, gifts. It's not to show off, you know, like so many do with the charismatic movement. Not showing off. It's supposed to be used for the benefit of the body. Every one of those gifts of the Spirit are given for the benefit of everybody. That's the whole point. So we all have a responsibility to do that. Once we receive the Spirit, we look to how we can then serve the body. And when you serve the body, who are you serving? You're serving Yahshua himself, right? He said, what you do to the brethren, you do to me. So that's where it all goes to.